All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Friday, December 20th of 2024. And looking ahead here today, we had a three-game college football slate start early here on a Friday. We have a three-game NBA slate, and then we have a seven-game NHL slate. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the Saber Sim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel and our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the Saber Sim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show tomorrow on Saturday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Actually, you know what? Just quick note on that. I know the NFL slate starts tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern, so I will probably move the show back like an hour or something like that. So expect office hours tomorrow to be at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. That makes a little bit more sense. And then that'll actually give us an opportunity to do some late swapping in between the game start times. So I could load up my entry file and then we could do a bunch of late swaps. So I'll make sure to change that after the show. So update Saturday show time. But last thing is that we have our build review show today at 5 p.m. Eastern. So tune in for that one after this show ends. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim up here, and we're going to jump into questions. We'll start with questions that came in the Discord first, and then hit any questions that are coming in live. So, first question, if there are no injuries on a certain team, how can you find value if you want to target that specific team? So, this is a little bit more of like research and things like that, right? I think what you can probably do is spend some time looking at the team, you know, using free resources like Popcorn Machine or Court IQ. If that's still free, it used to be free for Roto Grinders, past game logs via like Basketball Reference, right? Trying to figure out like, hey, are there any spots on this team where I think something isn't being represented properly, right? So digging into past games, looking at situations on and off the court, trying to figure out, you know, whose fantasy point per minute might be higher, whose fantasy point per minute might be lower. You know, there's always opportunities. There's always going to be some small edges that you can find. And then, you know, you add all those up together and then all of a sudden you have a bigger edge, right? So those are some free resources that I would recommend that I would check out if you are looking to do that kind of research. And then there's a video of me doing this on our YouTube channel. I'll show it real quick. Let me get it up. All right. So on our YouTube, go to playlists. It's a little bit older video, but a lot of the concepts still apply. Go to this How to Beat NBA DFS. There is a How to Beat NBA DFS 2024. Not that one. This older one. And where is it? It's not here. Thought it was there. Let me see. Okay, it's actually in this How to Beat NBA So this NBA research strategy video, I'll copy it here, drop it in the YouTube chat. Shows you how to do some additional research in NBA to find players, et cetera, to target that you might like, right? So that's a good one. All right. This one came in. I missed it because I had to cancel the show yesterday. Sorry about that. Was dealing with a sick child. And question was, any hints for the Thursday to Monday football slate this week? So, you know, this question just like made me think of like the saying, like the secret is there is no secret, right? You know, if we just knew who was going to be the best players, you know, we would put them in your lineup and you know, help you win all the money, right? But we don't, right? So we do the best we can. That's why we're simulating the game thousands and thousands of times. That's why we have the contest sim run 100,000 times, because we don't know. But the bigger the sample size, the more we can trust the information that we see on the other side. So if you're looking for help for NFL, I'd go to Saber School. I would go to How to Beat DFS, and then I would use this NFL tab here, and I would honestly watch all these videos, right? Where did it go? I exited it out somehow. The sim improvements, right? Learn about the model. Hear what the team has to say. Check out the showdown videos. Check out the NFL videos, right? The how to build winning lineups, how to beat NFL DFS in 2024, late swap tutorials, right? Like, check all of this stuff out. And this is going to be, you know, your hints, your strategy, your roadmap to building stronger lineups. All right, good stuff there. Next question. When doing autofill in the post build, is it recommended to have removed from pool checked, or is it better by default? Thanks. So I'm not 100% sure, honestly, what remove from pool is doing these days. And the reason for that, and we'll just do a demo, right? Like, I have some entries for the DK slate today, so let me bring those in. And then let's go to build. Let's kick off some lineups. All right, so we'll build 2,000 lineups real quick. And then we'll get into the autofill post-build window. Uh, 1,600 lineups is enough. We don't have to wait any longer. All right. So here, I'm in autofill. I'm in the post build. Let's say I'm ready to fill my lineups, right? So I don't even see a remove from pool option. So that's the first thing, right? And the reason this question kind of tripped me up at first was because rank and unique rank effectively do this. So if you're using unique rank and you are in autofill and you click save, what we do, right, is we go to the first contest, we uncheck them all, we go to the first one, we sort by whatever rank by method is chosen, we reorder the lineups, we put the lineups into this contest. The lineups get put into contest one will then get removed from the pool, and they will not be allowed to be used again, even if they are a good lineup for another contest, right? So that is what unique rank does. Unique rank is effectively removing these lineups from the pool for you, okay? Now, rank fill will allow a lineup to be used more than once. So say I ran the contest sim, and I had a lineup that graded out as the top lineup in both the fadeaway and, you know, the 50 cent mini max, right? Well, rank will allow the lineup to go into both contests, okay? So no remove from pool option here. If we go to direct fill, I don't see remove from pool here either. So I'm not sure where that feature you're referring to is, although I do remember it. The fill options here, rank, unique rank, are a better way of handling that. Anyways, so just stick with using those if you prefer. But those are what they do, and those are the differences. All right. My screen names are glitching a little bit, so I'm going to hard refresh. All right, next question. This was in regards to late swap. Like I said, I'm going to do a late swap demo tomorrow when the NFL slate is live. So in case you guys want to see me late swap and stuff like that, come swing by the show tomorrow. But I will answer this one specifically. It's like one piece of this late swap action. Similar to the earlier question, I downloaded the entries for late swap and got an error message when uploading. What am I doing wrong? So sometimes what happens, I'm not 100% sure why, I'm not like an engineer. SaberSim and DraftKings can get out of sync as to what your lineups actually are. So we're swapping them, but they're different than what the site has. The site's like, hey, these are the lineups, the original lineups. And then we're like, hey, no, these are the original lineups. So what you need to do in that case, if you upload and you get an error, okay, what do you do? So go to the contest tab, click this up arrow next to download entries, bring in a new file, just re-download the file via the hyperlink, upload it. And then that is you basically resetting the process. You're saying, okay, DraftKings, you're saying we're not the same. You're saying we're off. Tell me what you see. And then you bring that file in, and then SaberSim is like, okay, this is what DraftKings has as your lineups. And then from here, you open a new swap window. So that's what I would do. So re-import the entry file, open up a new swap build. Do not use one you've already created, and then redo your swap. So that's what I would do in such a scenario. All right, next question. I always hear you say use a lineup filter of ROI greater than zero. When I go back and look at past winners, most winning lineups have a negative projected ROI. If that is true, then by me using your said filter, I have essentially guaranteed myself of not winning most contests. Can you please explain your thoughts on the subject? So this will be a little bit of a different answer depending if you're playing Classic or Showdown. So I just want to preface it by saying that, right? And the reason for that is because in Classic slates, there are lots of winning lineups, right? You don't need, you know, the optimal, the highest possible lineup to win, right? But in Showdown, you do, right? So in Showdown, you're most likely going to need, you know, the highest scoring lineup possible, right? So for Classic slates, I wouldn't worry about it at all, right? And most of the time, you know, I've said this and like, I'll say it again. It is almost impossible, in my opinion, to build like only positive sim ROI lineups. You know, you could go and look at like the best 150 maxers. You know, not every single lineup they build is going to be positive ROI. But most of them will be. And that is why we look at their sim ROI on like a portfolio level, right? We're like, okay, Shady Advice entered 150 lineups. You know, what is his sim ROI on average? What is the average sim ROI of all of his lineups, right? We're looking at that one number on like a user level. Will he have some negative sim ROI lineups in there? Like, yeah, for sure, right? But most of his lineups are good, and you're not ever going to be able to say like, okay, you know, I know this is going to be positive in the post build before the slate happens, right? We're doing our best to try and get there, but it's not always going to work out, right? Kind of the same thing we were talking about with like the you know, any hints question earlier, right? So this is why, like, when I review like my Showdown stuff, you know, I've done this on like the Build a Review show. You know, I'm not worried about just like one Showdown at a time. I'm worried about all of them, right? Like, okay, hey, I played 15 Showdowns this weekend. You know, how did I do on average? And like, some of them I don't grade out good, but most of them I do, right? Like 80% of the time I'm like positive sim ROI and doing pretty good, but the other 20 I'm negative, right? But it's the same process across all of them. So if you think about it, if your same process gets you, you know, 125 positive sim ROI lineups and 25 negative sim ROI lineups, well, a little bit of that is just variance because you're using the same process to get to the positive as some of the negative, right? So in general, I think the ROI greater than zero metric is good. And the reason is like, even if a lineup is negative sim ROI, that doesn't mean it never wins. That doesn't mean it never cashes. We're just saying, if you were to play that lineup over and over and over, in this exact contest with these exact lineups, we don't think you win over the long term. And for me, that's enough, right? For me, I'm like, okay, you know, I want to, you know, be in the game a long time. I want to play long-term winners, right? I use a poker example for this. Like, it is known that 2-7 is the worst hand in No Limit Texas Hold'em. Doesn't mean it never wins. But if you played it again and again and again and again, every time you got it, you would on average lose money over the long term. So, you know, it's general advice, not to play it, right? Kind of the same with negative sim ROI lineups. So that's the approach I take. Not to say you have to take it. You don't have to use a filter if you don't want, but it's totally your call. All right. Good stuff there. Happy to give my thoughts on questions like those. Next question. Hey, could you give us a rundown on how to set a metric to make sure you only get ROIs over zero when you saved in contests? Yeah, it's exactly what we're talking about. So go to build, go to your build, right? We're on the contest tab right now. Build your lineups. You got to run the contest sim. So I'm going to run mine right now. I think something's wrong here. Should not say 0 of 1. Let me go to the contest tab. Okay, they're all checked. Let's go to direct fill. Oh, okay, I had only checked one in the list when I was doing the autofill example. So I'm going to check them all. And then I'm going to click run again. Okay, now it's doing all the contests. So let this run. And 11 of 15 complete. Almost there. Waiting for these last few contest sims to finish up. All right. So contest sim is done. I can see all of the metrics under the lineups. So now what I would do is I would go to my filters and then I would go and click add new filter. I'll do it fresh. So then it's going to say show lineups with blank, right? So I go into the first drop down. I go to contest sims. I go to target ROI. And then I go to greater than, and then I put zero. So then now what's going to happen is that this filter is looking, well, right now in direct fill, it's looking at the ROI across all the contests I have selected. It's using the average and it's filtering out lineups greater than zero. So it's using this average of selected contest number, which is the 225 for this top lineup, right? If I was using autofill, when you go to fill your lineups, what it does is it unchecks them, checks one, the lineups resort, the filter applies just to this contest, and then it removes the lineups to the trash. And then when I that's why you see here, right? In contest two, there are 720 lineups in the trash when I only have that one selected. But then when I had contest one selected, there's only 278 lineups in the trash. So see, the filter is dynamic. Depending on how many contests I have chosen, which contest it's looking at, it is updating your pool for that value. Okay, so that's how the filter works. All right. Can you please explain the my own column? Is it ownership for each of the players for that contest in DraftKings or ownership from SaberSim users? So the my own column is the amount of lineups in your contest that we expect this player to be rostered in. So we are saying that we believe that about 40% of lineups in your contests are going to have Giannis in them. Okay. This is like the flagship MME ownership, which is like the main ownership you'll see across the industry, like large field, 150 max type ownership. It could be different, right? Depending on the contest you're playing. So if you're on ultimate, you have access to the alternate ownership buckets, right? So if we're playing a high stakes single entry, well, what is his ownership there? And we're saying, hey, you know, he's going to be closer to like 70% owned in these small fields, right? So it will update based on the type of contest that you're playing. This also impacts the contest sims, but that is what the my own column does. All right, good stuff there. Next question. The portfolio EV tab shows plus or minus dollar amounts, but it's not really reflecting the amount I won or lost on that contest. Can you please explain? So the portfolio EV, let's just go back. Let me do something. Okay, 1 second. Okay, so this is going to be from something I played yesterday. Okay, so like on this night sleep, right? My portfolio EV says 36.1. So when I go to my contest tab, what's basically happening is the builder is looking at the sim results section here, and it's looking at the sim EV column, and then it's just adding these amounts up. So what's happening here is the builder is running the sims live after all the lineups are released, and then it's updating this, saying like, okay, hey, when we play out the sims from this point in the game based on the game situation, this is how much you win or lose in your contest on average from this point. And then it's updating. The portfolio EV is basically just the sum of these numbers, so it adds them all up and then says, okay, hey, this is how you do on average here. Sometimes it can be off if like all the contests aren't here, right? So like it didn't have these two bottom contests for me, so like it skews the data like slightly there. But that is effectively what your portfolio EV is. It is the net total of this sim EV column on the contest tab. All right. Good stuff there. Jumping back to our demo build. Brandon said, any reason why I can't run contest sim for tonight's NBA main? I built lineups, but not allowing me to run the sims. If I click the button after it finishes, it doesn't show any ROI. Weird. What I would do, because I'm not going to be able to troubleshoot too much here, go to the top right corner, go to report a problem, just write what's happening to you right here. This goes to our team, and then when you do this, it gives us a lot of info about your session, what's going wrong, errors, things like that. And then we can look into it and respond there. So that's going to be your best way of fixing these like more buggy type stuff. So sorry about that, but do that and we'll get back to you. Samuel said, did you answer my question? Yeah, I did about the, which one was it? About the autofill? Yeah, we went into detail about that. So I'm pretty sure that's the one that you asked yesterday. All right. Noah said, how big of the stacks does it like for the Saturday NFL on DK? Feel like QB plus three seems excessive, but good. I would say that, you know, the smaller the slate, the weirder the stacks can be. So like, you know, okay, yeah, QB plus three is like a little unconventional for like a 12 game NFL main, but it's probably very viable for a two game, you know, short slate, right? Because if one team, you know, just goes off and scores way more than everybody, you know, obviously you want like a lot of those pieces in order to do well. So what I like to do is run a build, go look at the pool exposures of the stacks. Now I'll just tell you how often they're coming up in the sims. And that pool exposure is kind of like your optimal rate, your viability. And, you know, the more and more that's coming up, the more and more comfortable I would be playing those type of stacks. All right. Brandon said, thanks. Sammy said, thanks. Yep. No problem. Roche said, do we need to make sure we turn that filter on every time we do a late swap or a fresh build based on what you were saying? We just set the filter. SaberSim automatically submits positive ROI lineups for each contest. So the second part is true, right? When you put that filter on, it is going to apply to each contest and it's going to make sure that there are only positive ROI lineups available to be put into your contest, right? After applying mini uniques, after applying Minimax exposures, all those things. Now, in regards to late swap, I actually do not like to use it personally. I would, if I had to say if I recommend it or not, I would probably say no. And the reason for that is because, you know, you are not going to be positive ROI in the live contest sim all the time, right? There are plenty of times you're going to be negative expected ROI in a contest if you got off to a bad start. Basically, at that point, all you're trying to do is go from a negative ROI day to a slightly less negative ROI day. Like you might be at minus 70% expectation in the contest. Well, we're trying to go from minus 70 to minus 50, right? We're trying to go from minus 70 to minus 30, something like that. If you have the filter on in late swap, what will happen is your lineups will not get swapped because there are not enough positive ROI options to swap to. So then effectively the lineups would stay the same. So in late swap, I would recommend not using the filter. I would only use it pre-slate. All right. Hope that makes sense. Looks like we got a couple of questions in the Discord. So let me get those up since we're caught up here. All right, we got one from Junk Dog, one from Black Mamba. One from Isaiah. All right. Next three questions. Hey, Andrew, when it comes to late swapping, what is your opinion on the settings to use? I do a lot of NHL, and sometimes I've noticed I'll have some rules or settings I've set for initial build being broken. I also know, however, as games kick off, obviously it gets harder and harder to meet criteria. Just kind of looking for some guidance on how strict I should try to stick to my initial build settings and which toggles to consider, like default versus build one. Hope that makes sense. Okay, so when you're in a late swap, if you have rules and filters and exposures and things that you've set in the initial build, I would always just try and carry them over, right? Use the, you know, build one, which will have all of your data and effectively clone it into your late swap. Now, what the builder is going to do is it's going to try and meet all of those things. When it can't meet them, it's going to have like this requirements met and then exceptions section. So those lineups will ultimately end up in the exceptions where it doesn't meet them, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't try, right? If you think those things are high value, if you think those things are useful, I would include them and do your best to try and get them to meet them. So I would always clone. I do cloning. I prefer it. That was like kind of the question. Yeah. So just kind of some thoughts on like settings and stuff. How many uniques should I use for late swap? Okay. So, this is kind of the case all the time. There is no right number and the number will change based on the amount of games on the slate, right? So if I'm like, hey, use four uniques, right? Like, well, that might be okay on like a 12-game NBA slate, but on like a 3-game slate like today, it actually might be really, really hard to do. So what I recommend, right, or this is like the best way to know, okay? Go to your build, and I'm just going to get this to load back up. Oh, I think it's because only one selected. So go to your build. Set up your aggregate metrics, right? I always recommend average projection, average ROI. Okay. And then the way I do it is I do my most entries, whatever contest has the most entries. I will adjust the uniques until these metrics move. You could do this in late swap too. Okay. So what you do is you adjust these and see where your number, you know, falls. And let's just say I want to stop at 2, right? I'm just doing a demo. It doesn't matter. I want to stop at 2, right? I will use 2 in late swap as my baseline, okay? So I just carry it over. What you could do is you could redo this in your late swap. So like, okay, hey, I used 2, right? And say you're in autofill because it looks like autofill. So, okay, hey, I'm going to sit here at 2 uniques. I'm going to use the gear icon. I'm going to set all the contests to 2. And then I'm going to save, right? Well, when I save, after I save, the metrics populate, right? So, okay, I'm going to click save, metrics populate. Okay, well, what if I want to do, what, these are my metrics, okay? Then you could change your uniques to one, and then you could save it again. And like, okay, hey, my ROI at one unique was 170. My ROI at two uniques was 166. Okay, well, what about three uniques, right? Save again. Okay, it went down to 139. Maybe I don't want to use three, right? Maybe I want to go back to two. So then, okay, I'm going to update back to two. And then I'm going to save. Goes back up to 166. I stick with these, right? You can do this in your LazySwap, right? Because LazySwap is effectively autofill. Just sit there saving, looking at the metrics, saving, looking at the metrics, right? And you can do it across all your lineups. You could do it for one lineup, right? One contest, whatever you want to do. But you got to figure out where that drop-off point is, and it's always going to depend on the slate. Sometimes one unique, sometimes two, sometimes five. Sport matters, right? There's all different kinds of considerations here. All right. Next question. Why did the sim give me Bruno from Toronto last night? Dude was extremely trash, had zero fantasy points, and the sim had him getting 20. Yeah, it's a super unfortunate situation. Podl was out, you know, their starting center, and Bruno is expected to play behind him, and they just, I don't know, they played smaller. They played different than expected. So, you know, anytime you're in a situation like that, you know, what I like to do, right, is I like to ask, like, hey, does this make sense? You know, why am I getting this? And basically what I'll do is, like, I'll run a build, look at my top exposures. This is a great example, right? Name I don't recognize that much, or a lot of people that recognize, I recognize them just because I'm so tuned into the NBA. But this Micić guy, right? I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he's in, you know, 89% of my lineups. Like, hey, who is this guy? You know, 4,000 salary player. I've never heard of him, right? Like, okay, well, hey, why don't I take a second right now, and why don't I go to Charlotte, and then why don't I just look at their team and see what's going on here? And it's like, oh, okay, look, they have an 8,900 salary player out, Brandon Miller. They have a 9,800 LaMelo Ball out, right? They have some other injuries to guys in, like, the 4K range. This is where it's coming from, right? You can even look at their positions. Like, Miller, small forward, LaMelo, point guard. Okay. Micić is a point guard. Oh, okay. You know, he's probably going to play because LaMelo's out, right? Like, hey, this makes sense. So you can do this, right? You probably could have done the same thing with Bruno. You'd be like, hey, you know, Podl's out. Okay. Looks like Bruno is here. Open a new tab and just be like, hey, you know, Toronto depth chart, you know, Toronto Raptors depth chart, and go and look like what the order of players listed is, right? And be like, hey, you know, it says Bruno is second man behind Podl. Okay, you know, that makes sense. But what if he's third, right? Okay, hey, maybe I want to manage my risk a little bit. Maybe it's not like a guarantee he's going to get in, or somebody else is going to get in ahead of him, right? Like, you can make those decisions. So, verifying, checking these things is always a good idea. So that's what I would have done there, but pretty unfortunate he didn't play. I thought he was going to play as well. All right, next question, follow-up here. Roche said, makes sense. So it's more for a pre-lock build. Do you put the filter on as soon as the contest sims finish running, also based on what you showed? Each contest filters the lineups in the trash if the ROI is under zero, but that same lineup could be higher than zero for another contest. Pretty much everything done in the back end, so we just need to make sure the filter is on to get it to work. Yeah, your understanding is right. So lineup could be negative ROI for one contest, but it could be positive for another, right? And those are like the dynamics of the contest. How big is it? What's the payout structure look like, right? So yeah, lineup definitely could be positive in one, negative in another. Like you said, as long as you have the filter on, the back end is handling all of the switching and swapping. It is mostly for pre-lock. And then, yeah, after you run your contest sim, I would just turn that filter on, because you basically want to get down to your effective pool, the pool of lineups that you want to look at before you start making any changes, right? Before minimax exposures, before min uniques, before any of those type of things, get down to the pool of lineups you want to use first. Sammy said, follow up. Yeah, it used to be on the bottom right, but it seems it was recently removed. FYI. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Probably it was like double counting with the remove from pool toggle and the rank unique rank thing. So just stick with the rank unique rank. All right, Derek said, is it worth doing the geo mean formula for a two-game slate for NFL, or is it just a showdown thing? I would say, in my experience, yes, it is useful. You know, duplication, you know, you're not finding as highly duplicated lineups as showdown, but you are still finding duplicated lineups in two-game slates. So I would recommend using it. I will be using it for my Saturday lineups. So hope that helps. All right, next question. On the old build, we used to sort the prize pool from high to low. In order to fill the best lineups to the highest paid contest, there is no longer needed, right, with the current build. So two things on that. So one is, if you are using rank fill, you do not need to do that because a lineup can be used more than once. So it doesn't matter about the order of the contest. If you are using unique rank, I would still do it. Because once that lineup is used, it gets removed and cannot be used again. So typically you're going to want your best lineups going into your highest prize pool. You know, typically highest prize pool is highest percent to first to, or like biggest prize, right? So you want your best lineups going for the best prize, and then, you know, all the other lineups falling in line behind those top ones, right? So unique rank, sort by prize pool, rank fill does not matter. Roche said, thanks. I'll mess around with it tonight. You are welcome. Let's jump back to the Discord real quick. And no additional questions. Looks like we're all caught up there. So appreciate everybody tuning in. I'll be back in about 20 minutes for our build review show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.